Okay, so today we're going to talk about what happens when a Christian or a believer sins, right? And so we're going to be looking at the subject that sometimes many people do ask. So what happens now after I'm saved? What happens when I sin, right? And we're not going to go there, but and the Bible tells us in 1 John 1:8-9, and a lot of us have heard these verses. It says, if we say that we have no sin, right, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But then it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? So as Christians, we're believers, right? We will eventually stumble. We're going to stumble. We're going to fall, right? The word of God says we all fall short of the glory of God. In other words, we do sin, you know? And you know, that's a reality. Like, we're not perfect vessels. When we get to heaven, that's it, you know? We're gonna be perfected, right? But what makes us different from what we were before is the conversion, right? Is that now we have a new spirit, we've been born again, and we have a new nature, right? So now when we sin, it grieves us to sin, right? Don't you feel like, you know, we've been there, right? We sin and you're like, oh my God, why did I do that? Or you start becoming guilty or there you feel condemnation and this and that. We've all been there, right? So here we have it. In reality, we don't want to sin. Listen, we have a new nature. Our spirit was born again. And that's the reality. Nobody wants to sin. Nobody wants to displease God. I mean, we understand when we got saved that all the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus did on the cross, we understand, we read about it. There was witnesses that witnessed the Lord Jesus. He got beat up. He got bruised. He got wounded. He got whipped. He got spit at. They put a crown of thorns. They speared him. I mean, they mocked him. They slapped him. I mean, we have accounts in the Bible, in the gospel, of what the Lord Jesus did on our behalf. He paid our full debt. Amen? So do we really want to sin now that we're Christians, that we're Christ followers? No. But it happens. You know, the reality is we want to live a righteous life before the Lord. But what happens when we do sin? Do we need to get saved again? Is that what the Bible teaches?
That's what they just told us.
Right? Many churches tell you that, right?
Get saved again.
Yeah.
Exactly. And in that case, then we have no security. And in some sense, we definitely are worse off than the world, than the one living in the world. At least the world is not tormented by a sin conscience, right? As believers, sin is not to be our focus of attention. I want to repeat that. Sin is not to be our focus of attention. In the Word of God, in Hebrews 10:2, it says, and it states that through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the believer should have no more conscience of sins. In other words, sin should not be the focus of our lives. God should be our focus. Amen? We said that on Sunday, that our focus should be on the heavenly things, not on the worldly things. Our focus should be on forgiveness, not on sin. Our focus should be on the cross, not who we used to be, you know? And in Romans 4:2, it says, for if Abraham were justified, in other words, he was declared righteous by God. He was justified by works. He has whereof to glory, but not before God. In other words, if salvation was based on our merit, on our performance, right? The things we do, then we could brag. Then we would say, okay, Lord, you know, I really appreciate what you did on the cross, but remember the things I've done. And we begin to put that I in there, right? So throughout eternity, we're going to pat Jesus on the back and then pat ourselves too on the back for the things that we've done? No way. This is not about us. We got to take us out of the equation. God is the one that designed salvation in such a way that there will be no boasting or glory on man's part. The only glory and boasting will be in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that saved. He's the one that saved you. Man didn't save you. You couldn't save yourself. The Lord did. And everything that Jesus did at the cross, it was to bring glory to God. He did. He did what the Father asked him to do. He redeemed the world. He sacrificed his whole being for us. He paid a full debt. He didn't pay a partial debt. Our debt is paid in full. It's been sealed by the Holy Spirit. So the gift of eternal life is indeed a gift. You didn't have to perform for it. You didn't have to work it. You didn't have to earn it. Amen? And that's what Romans 6:23 says. You know, the gift of salvation is a free gift without performance. In Romans 4:2, it says that Abraham was justified by his own... In Romans 4:2, if it would have said that Abraham was justified by his own actions, he would have reason then to boast, right? But that's not what happened. Mm-hmm. How does the scripture say a man is saved? By his own performance? By his own works?
No.
By the things he does? So how was Abraham counted righteous or declared righteous? Was it through the things he did? Exactly. It wasn't about him. It wasn't about the things he did or didn't do. It was simply because Abraham believed, he trusted, and he relied on God through faith. Listen, we are saved by faith. We didn't see God. He didn't come up to the altar when we went to the altar or wherever you got saved. He wasn't there. You couldn't see him. But you simply believed. You trusted on the person that was speaking to you. You trusted the words from the Bible that were spoken to you. And you relied on the gospel, the good news, through faith. And that's how we got saved. Right? The Bible says in Romans 4:3, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And simply because he believed, God said to him, now he is standing righteously before me. And he did. Was Abraham perfect?
No.
No. My goodness, let me tell you, you know, every time I remember Abraham, I remember twice that he told, when he would enter in a new country, he would tell the men, he'd say, oh yeah, this is my sister. And they would take his wife and make her into a maidservant. Come on. I believe, and I could be wrong, but I believe once she probably was raped by one of those guys, but the second time I think God spared her. But this is, you know, This is what Abraham put her through. And yet, the word of God says that he was counted to God for the righteousness in Christ, in God. Because Christ wasn't there yet. Amen. But because he believed God and he trusted God and he did what God asked him to do, he was credited with righteousness. Amen. I mean, just look at yourself. We've been credited with righteousness. Our righteousness is from God. It's not from man. It's not based on our performance. It's not even based on our failures. It's not based on anything like that. Simply because we believe, we trusted, and we relied on the good news of the gospel, God placed a robe of righteousness on you. I mean, come on. We are righteous through Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. So what holds me in position and keeps me from perishing, even though there are times when we may fail and sin? It is that Jesus bore all of our sins on the cross, and through faith in him, not by our own works, not by us performing it, but the word of God says that I have been justified. I have been made righteous before God, because the Lord already did it all. He took it all. He bore all of our sin on the cross. It's a done deal. And God, God is not going to be crucified twice. It's once and for all, one and done. It's a done deal. You don't need to go to the cross again. That would be ridiculous. Amen? In Romans 4:6, it says, even as David also, that's what it says, describes the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. So David of the Old Testament is saying that there will be a day through a new covenant, which is the one we have today, right? A covenant of grace, when God will impute righteousness, right standing, without man working for it. And that we're exercising that today. We have a new covenant. We are justified by God through faith in Jesus Christ. We have right standing with God. It don't matter whether you fail God or not, you still have right standing with him, because those things are not earned. It's not based on performance. It's not based on works. And then in verse 7, it's saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. And this is the clincher. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. God will not impute sin upon you. It's already done. He did it at the cross. It doesn't say in that verse, he might not. It doesn't say he sometimes will, and sometimes he won't. It doesn't say that. It says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. In other words, it's a done deal.
Imputed righteousness.
Amen. It's already done. We can't go back.
Right.
God can't go back, because he can't go back on his word. So it's already done. In the Greek, that's what is called an emphatic negative. It means he'll never, not ever, put sin to our account. So he doesn't look at sin. Our sins have been forgiven. Our past sins were forgiven. Our present sins are forgiven. Our future sins are forgiven. That's what makes us right standing with Christ, because the Lord will not impute sin upon us. It's already, it already, was taken care of at the cross. When the Lord said it was finished, it was done. That's it. That's it. And it gets better. Amen. It says this is the good news, right? Of the new covenant. Because in Hebrews 10:16, it says, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds, I will write them. And part of that agreement is that God says this in verse 17, right? We're talking about Hebrews 10:16 and now 17. And it says in 17, and our sins and iniquities, I will remember no more.
No more.
It's done. You see that? So the Lord at the cross, he forgave us for the past, the present, and the future sins. And the beauty about this whole thing is that he will remember not one sin. He will remember them no more. It's a done deal. Because this is the reality. When the Lord sees you, he sees his son. He sees a perfected vessel in Christ Jesus. He sees the image of his son, Jesus Christ. And there's nothing, you can't do no wrong in the eyes of God, because God is spirit and he's looking at you in the spiritual realm. God cannot communicate with you without you being born again. You have the Holy Spirit of God. Now there can be communication between you and God. If you weren't saved, God wouldn't be able to communicate with you through the Spirit I'm talking about. Amen? There's no communication. So what holds you in position in righteousness and right standing, even when you sin and don't have time to confess it? I'm going to repeat that. What holds you in position in righteousness and right standing, right? Even when you sin and don't have time to confess it. It's a question. Huh?
To me, it's his righteousness. God.
Nothing else. It's your faith in Jesus Christ. Yeah. His name is Jesus. He saves people from their sins. And that's it. He's the Savior. He's the Savior of the world. This is what he does. This is what he wants to do for the world. He wants to be their Savior. So like this sins, they'll be forgiven and he will remember them no more. But people have to come to that knowledge. They got to repent. They got to confess their sins. They got to say yes to the Lord. Amen. And this is where we come in. We are the vessels, right? The vessels of light, the beacons of light that God has chosen to share the good news and share the truth of the gospel, because a lot of people are under misconceptions of the word and they take the word out of context. And sometimes they make it for their own advantage, you know, but a lot of people don't understand the word, don't really understand what it means to be saved, what it means to walk righteously before the Lord. They don't really understand when the Lord says, you know, God has placed a garment of righteousness upon you. They don't really understand. So they'll go different places to ask for explanations, meanings, direction, guidance, whatever. But if that particular person that they're going to, if they don't have the truth of the word, they haven't really dissected, or God hasn't given them a revelation of what that statement means or that verse means, they can be walking in the wrong knowledge of the word of God, and therefore continue to maybe live in guilt and condemnation and shame when they don't have to once they become a believer of Jesus Christ. Because in Christ, there's no shame, no condemnation, no guilt. And many people, when they sin, they remain in that state. And they seem not to be able to get out. But that's far from who God is. God does not hold your sin. He doesn't put the blame on you. You already been crucified with Christ Jesus. As the Lord is, so are you in this world. You have been perfected in the blood of Jesus. You are a new Christian. You are a new believer. You have a divine nature. You are the glory carrier for the Lord Jesus Christ. You have righteousness. You have right standing. As a matter of fact, you are seated at the right hand of the Father with the Lord Jesus Christ because you have right standing with God in Christ Jesus. Like just picture that. Just look at it in the spiritual realm. Imagine yourself sitting with the Lord Jesus and God, a bright light shining around you. Picture the Lord God, the Father God, but the Lord Jesus here and you sitting right next to him. That's how precious the Lord sees you. You are the apple of his eyes. We are the apple of his eyes. He sees, yep. When he sees us, he sees value. He sees a treasure because we were made in the image of his son, Jesus Christ.
Yep.
There's nothing that you can do, nothing. I don't care what you do. I don't care if you fail God 100 times in one day. It doesn't matter. Nothing can ever separate you from the love of God. Nothing. God is not going to change because the word says he changes not. We change. He doesn't. When we sin, listen, confess. Get right back up and keep moving. Keep moving because God is not holding that sin on you. It's done. It's done. Imagine if that wasn't the case. I would not be here right now. I can tell you that much. Amen. But now let's read scripture. I'm going to read those Romans. Let's go to the questions in Romans 4:5. And I'm going to read 6 also, because we can answer, I think, question 1 and 4 with this one. It says, but to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness, even as David also describes the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works. So the question says, God justifies or makes righteous people who are, and you fill in the blank.
That's a hard one. Ungodly. People who are ungodly.
Yes. Maybe it was the way it was worded.
No, I'm joking.
Oh, okay. Because these are easy. Yeah. But I'm just following the lesson. Be patient. Okay. Question 4. God puts righteousness or right standing to a person's account. A, according to their works. B, apart from their works. C, according to how nice they are. Number 4. Yes.
God puts righteousness into a person's account according to their works, apart from their works, according to B, apart from their works.
Exactly. Let's go to Romans 4, 2 to 3. That's question 2. For if Abraham were justified by works, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. For what says the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So God put something to Abraham's account when he believed, which he did not have before. What was it?
Righteousness.
Exactly. Exactly. Following the lesson. Amen. Meaning right standing with God. Exactly. Romans 4:22-24. It says, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. So if we believe as Abraham did, what will God put to our account?
Righteousness.
Exactly. Easy questions, okay? Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. So how long are believers perfected before God?
Forever.
Exactly, forever. It never stops.
No.
Do you hear that? We are perfected in God.
Yeah.
To think outside of that is not to trust God. Mm-hmm. It's not to rely on him. Is not to believe in him. We are perfected before God.
Amen.
If the Lord Jesus is perfect, this is why when it comes to healing, if the Lord Jesus resides in you and he never had sickness, never will, never walked in sickness, not even Paul,
no.
We should not be walking in sickness. It has no legal right to be in your body. And this is why we need to use our words and begin to confess and go greater than that and imagine yourself totally healed. Because sickness comes from Satan, never from God. And sometimes we allow symptoms to surface because of what we're thinking. Because sometimes we hold bitterness. Sometimes there's unforgiveness. There's quite a few reasons why we ourselves become sick. Sometimes we're not taking care of our health, of our holy temple, and things happen within your body. But the reality is we were never meant to be sick. When sin entered, sickness enters. Satan came into surface in the Garden of Eden. So he brings these diseases to us. We do it ourselves also, but the Word of God says that by Jesus' stripes, we were healed. Meaning that we can walk in perfect healing, in divine health. We just gotta believe. Trust the word, walk it out, confess it, and then see yourself healed, and it shall come to being. You know, last week I said on Sunday that I've had this awful pain. It almost feels like a thorn in my back, you know? But I'm telling you that I've been confessing, and I even worked out today with weights, confessing the word, using cream and this and that. And I feel like 80% better than I did last week, but I am confessing the word. No, by his stripes, I'm healed. And pain, yeah. You have no legal right to be on my body, so you need to go. And that's why you gotta, you just gotta continue to speak it out. I don't care how dumb you look in the car or in the shower. I don't care what people say. You know what? It's about you. It's about your health. If you're not well, how can you take care of your spouse, your children, your grandchildren? No, health comes first. I always tell the people on the board, something's going on in your family. Something's going on within you. No, health comes first. God will give me the strength to, you know, to handle the service or whatever. Do you first. Take care of you first. You know? And when I say that, it's like, apply the word. Apply the word. Confess the word. You know, who can pray better for you than anyone else? You.
Yeah.
You're the only one.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, not everybody, you know, like I have a circle of people that I'll call to pray for me, but I won't call everybody. I choose my circle. You can't trust anybody because not everybody believes the way you do. Yeah. And that's the reality. They want to pray for healing. I said, I'm not praying for healing. I'm declaring the word over myself. So don't pray for healing, because that already, don't pray for something already happened. You already have it. You have access to it. You know what I mean? Like, no, you can't. I have shifted my circle, okay? Throughout the last, I say, 5 years, there's a shift that has happened, because I will not let people lay hands on me. I will not do that prayer chain. Because not everybody on that chain believes the way you do.
Exactly.
And the minute you allow it, even if they call themselves a Christian, when you know their life, dude, I don't see the fruit in your life. I'm sorry. I can't. I can't trust you. I'm sorry. Can't do it. You just can't. You know? But, you know, and that holds true for all of us. You gotta have your circle. The Lord Jesus had his circle. You gotta have your circle of people that you say, I need prayer. Or I don't even have to ask. You know, Vinit sends me. Vinit, you sent me a word today. You know, I sent it to them.
Oh, you did?
And they needed to hear it.
Absolutely.
You follow? So when I get that, I know it's for me, but then God placed a picture in my mind and I sent it forward. Because that's how he talks to us.
Yes, it is. Yes.
And imagine if you would just ignore that. Imagine if you would ignore, you know, that vision that God has given you. Mm-hmm. That person is missing out. That person could be blessed by this devotion. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, this is why it's so important for us to be in tune with the Spirit, right? It's about focusing on the things of the Lord, not on focusing on the things of the world. Because when we focus on the things of the Lord, you can hear God. You can communicate with God. You know he's talking to you. You know that you're hearing from him. And a lot of times what happens is that, am I really hearing from God? You ask yourself and you question yourself, is this really you, God? Listen, if it's aligned with the word, yes, it is. Just do it. Like Nike, just do it. Just do it. It's not going to hurt. If it's aligned with the word of God, if it's something positive, if it's something that's going to edify somebody, you need to follow through. Right. Don't even question it. That is the Holy Spirit giving you that nudge. Yes, go ahead. The more you do it, the more you're going to begin to really tune into the voice of the Lord. Because sometimes, I'll tell you, sometimes when you want to pray for somebody, God will stop you in your tracks and he'll say, no. You gotta go after this root first. There is a root of bitterness. There's a root of unforgiveness that we gotta tackle first before you pray for them for healing or whatever it is that God wants you to do at that point. God is the one that knows the person better than you do. So sometimes we gotta say, you know, Lord, what, how should I pray for this person? What should I tackle? Or he'll just answer. Or you can begin to pray in the spirit and God will give you an answer. Mm-hmm. You know? Anyway, so question number six, Romans 5:17. It says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So question number six says, righteousness is received A, by earning it, B, as a gift, C, by working for it.
As a gift through the abundance of grace.
That's right. And then number seven, it says, what does the word gift imply? The gift. What does it imply in these verse? In this verse, 5:17.
It's something that is not earned. Something you need to have to work for.
Correct.
I think it implies justification by grace.
Yeah, no, the gift, again, is implying something that is freely given.
Freely given, right.
You know, without cost to the person receiving it. Just if I give you a gift, it's freely given to you. You don't owe me anything for it.
No cost.
Exactly. Question number eight. To trust the Lord Jesus to be your personal Savior, you must trust Him to take you all the way to church, heaven, or Russia.
Glory. Heaven.
Yeah, these are funny questions sometimes. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you know, it's a Bible study, but in between those studies, the Lord brings insight, and then we interject and we begin to talk about other things that God is bringing into play that has to do with His Bible studies, you know. So, but this lesson is really good because, you know, a lot of people, you know, they really believe that if they sin after being a Christian, that God's not, they can't make it to heaven, or they got to be saved again, or they got to be what about to act. Like, they have all these misconceptions. Oh, my goodness.
When I was a kid, I used to pray every night for God to forgive me for whatever sins I didn't know. I was afraid.
Well, you know what?
I did the same thing. I did the same thing. I used to say, God, forgive me for my sins.
But even now, you know, the reality is that there are sins that we commit that are not even known to us.
Oh, right.
So this is something, you know, and it's not about guilt, condemnation, or shame, but this is something just in case, Lord God, forgive me for my unknown sins. May not even be aware. You know, we could be lusting with our eyes. We could have said a white lie, not even realize it was a white lie. You know, we've all done it. You know, at work, at home.
Yeah, we could have done something in our heart that we really don't need.
Yeah, and you know what? What's the reality? God knows our hearts.
Yeah.
God knows. God knows, you know, we're going to fail and this and that, but that's why He provided the cross for us. He knew we couldn't, you know, we break one, Lord, break them all. So He knows that. So the beauty of it is that the more you recognize and you're aware that there's forgiveness, not to be sin conscious, you know, conscious, but there is forgiveness on the cross, you know, repent, confess, and keep going. Just keep going. Keep moving. Keep pleasing God. Keep praising Him. Keep worshiping Him. You know, do what you know God's called you to do, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. The best thing you can do is talk to God in the spirit. worship him in the spirit, because you're getting total insight, revelation from him. Especially if you're going through something, the best thing you can do is pray in the spirit.
Yep.
That is the best answer you will ever get. And that's what I'm trying to do more and more often. And I don't do it enough. I got to do it even more. It's just not enough what I do, you know. So God is calling me to go up higher. You know, no, you know, get out of that comfort zone. No, you got to pick it up, you know. And it's not about I don't feel condemned. I don't feel guilty. No, no. He already told me, no, he already confirmed, you know, Rosie was present in Florida. No, God wants you to know that he knows that you know him. He knows that you hear his voice. Like God confirmed him, because I was asking. See, I was questioning. I said, am I really hearing from you? Am I really hearing from you? But God spoke to Belinda. And when I met her in Florida, remember? She confirmed, God wants you to know A, B, C, and D, right? It says that you are hearing from him.
Yeah.
You know? So, and that just, you know, it brought me such peace, and it was just a confirmation of what I was asking. So, you know, God is faithful. Bottom line.
Yes,
God is faithful. This was a good study, so I'm going to stop the recording.